Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We have a bit of breaking news here on the program. Doug has made a call to the shipping company, and it seems like he's turned back a new layer of the shipping of the shipping furniture company. Controversy. Doug, what's the latest?
The shipping company here in St. Louis, legitimate company. They were going to come out and crate this furniture that I've sold on eBay. To someone in Toronto, and then they were going to ship it there at the cost of a few thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. And he said, I talked to the guy on the phone, and he sounded legit, but after I got done with him and traded a few emails, I got viruses on my computer from the email. So I've canceled it.
Just save the furniture for the 590 Fan garage sale.
I'll save it for when one of my kids ever moves out of my house.
I'll take it off your hands if you want. I'll come pick it up. I got a truck.
$750?
No, I mean for free.
For free, I'll take care of it.
Yeah. I'll sell it for you. I'll give you half the money. How about that?
Well, that doesn't sound like a real good deal to me.
Well, I'll come take it out of your garage.
That's the deal.
Aren't you tired of it? That's the deal Iggy got
for his dining room set.
Yeah.
Someone takes it from you.
Well,
and
Iggy,
then...
was that a good deal?
Well,
no.
In the end, it was.
It was hassle-free.
It was a free $15. I was just going to throw it in the dumpster. So
it
yeah.
wasn't free because you bought the dining room table to begin with.
I didn't buy it. It was my parents.
Exactly. And you didn't buy your furniture, the furniture that you're selling. You inherited it.
The only reason I kept it so long, let me take it off your hands
and I'll sell it.
I actually felt bad doing it because I've kept it so long because there were so many great times the Strode family had around this dining room table.
True.
But it was just getting in the way. Probably worth more than $30, but that's what he sold it for. That guy, I called him an idiot. And I said, if you're going to sell it, you could have got more than 30. Well, you were going to throw it away. Because I didn't try selling it.
You made $15 on the deal. And you were going to make nothing.
Well, that's true.
It's serious money there.
I wasn't even going to take it to the dumpster. I was going to let it sit there in the rocks for a while.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. A lot of times if you take decent stuff and just put it out in the front of your house and write free on it, it'll disappear.
It'll go real quick.
Word spreads real fast.
In my complex, there was a couch there that somebody put out there that had so many stains on it.
Mm.
It looked like a mattress. And 3 hours later, I went to take my trash out, and six people were carrying the couch away.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't matter what you put out there. It's gone within 2-3 hours.
I don't really want to have someone else's couch. I really don't.
Yeah, that's why I preach at this guy giving me the leather couch. I don't think I want it, though.
You can just flip the cushions over. It'll be fine.
I don't think there's cushions on it.
Oh, okay.
We'll get you some cushions.
Plowsy, it says here on the captain's log that it's time for the exit poll.
Yeah, we don't have an open, but if anybody wants to do any pre-production...
Sneaky may get to that when he gets a little time.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I got to find these first. Okay.
Oh, we're not ready.
Some good ones by CCS.
Yeah, they are. I told Benfred that there are some good ones. All right, starting off the bat, how do you order your steak?
I must tell you, growing up in the Randolph household, Jay Sr. was a medium, was a medium well. I grew up that way, but as I made my way through the trials and tribulations of life, I have become a medium guy. I am a medium steak order.
Medium steak for me as well.
Yeah,
always have been.
Same
the way
for
it
me.
Should be.
I don't want it real pink. I don't want to taste the blood necessarily.
Right.
I don't want to see where the
now angry. I have a feeling
the
is going to
was hitting it.
Are you a rare guy?
Medium rare.
Medium rare.
I don't want it real bloody.
Yeah.
But medium rare. Black and blue sometimes. You just char the hell out of both sides, and it's really rare inside. Because if it's too rare, it's cold. It's hard to get a rare steak really.
And you can get sick eating that.
No, you can. It's
rare meat. Sure,
all of the nutrients and vitamins are. Once the more you cook it, you're taking all of that out of there.
Yeah, but
the less you cook it, the more likely you are to get
E. coli. Right.
Right.
Well, I've been eating medium rare steak my whole life.
And look at you.
Yeah, look at me. Look at me. I'm a pumpkin.
Text line blowing up.
Pumpkin looking Gatorade.
What about
orange,
you, Plowsy?
Gatorade.
What do you do with your steak?
I'm all rare. I love it.
No, straight up rare.
Come on,
straight up
Plowsy,
rare. Yeah.
Why don't you just walk up to a live cow and take a bite out of its hindquarters? Yeah,
my girlfriend was alarmed the hair off the first time we grilled out. It's just bloody, bloody, bloody. I like it that way. That's how my dad taught me how to eat it, and that's
now
how
you
I
said
ate
your
it.
Girlfriend. That's the new gal.
Yeah. All so right. She saw me eat it and was pretty disgusted by it, but that's how I eat it.
And it depends on the cut. It depends on the cut of meat.
It does.
A ribeye, I'll cook medium rare, but a filet, I love black and blue. I like it really rare on a filet.
Mm-hmm.
What's the filet we had in Orlando, the barbecue filet?
The barbecue filet at the at Contemporary Resort.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unbelievable. It's never seen. Good. It's a barbecue filet that they do at the hotel that has the monorail go through.
Yeah, the modern looking.
The California Grill. It has a flavor, like Iggy said, it's charred, and it's got this flavor of barbecue on the outer part, and then it was money.
What were you doing down there?
We were at the merchandise show, PGA merchandise show.
Yeah, that's the year that you guys stayed at the Peabody, and I was down on Hooker Avenue down there.
In Orlando?
Yeah, they're watching the ducks go through the lobby. I'm down there beating off hookers.
wait, what?
Wait, why can you? I can't.
A lot of images. Do you ever get the extra toppings on your steak? Like, do you ever get, if you're going to go add on, do you ever add anything on?
Yeah,
to it?
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lobster, maybe? A little lobster on the top of there? I got a blue cheese crust on mine the other weekend. It was pretty good.
I will peppercorn sauce once in a while.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's Plazzy. One.
I like the garlic butter,
yeah.
And then you just wait for it to melt. You don't spread it on there. You just plop it on there and just let it sizzle and just melt. Oh, my God.
Yeah, nice little
run through the crevices.
Piece of Maitre d' butter on there.
Yeah, that's so good. Glistening.
There's a steak that I tried. It was called Steak Florentine. I saw it on the Food Network. And it was a porterhouse with tarragon and then cream spinach on top of the steak. Now, I love cream spinach. So I said, well, I'm not going to put it on top of the steak. I'll make cream spinach and then I'll
on the side.
Took a little bite with the steak. Oh, it's really, it meshes perfectly with the steak. So
steak is good.
If you like cream spinach, try some cream spinach with your steak.
I may have a steak tonight.
I'm getting very hungry.
I eat steak maybe.
What do you eat?
Well, the red meat is horrible for you.
Listen, if red meat's going to kill me, then I'll go down.
How do you think too, right? What about
you should limit. You should limit the
no,
steak.
No, you shouldn't.
Yes, you should.
No,
we're at the top of the food chain for a reason.
I'm with Doug. There's a lot of... Well, I'm not with Doug. I agree with your take. I'm not going to abide by it. I love red meat, but red meat should be eliminated from your diet.
Cholesterol level.
Which
it'll clog not. Your colon, fellas.
I don't care.
It'll clog your colon.
I'll go down. I'll take that
You'll
hit.
Take it. You'll
yes.
take it.
Well, you say that now. Wait until you're 20 years older and your cholesterol level's at 500.
It probably already is.
Something's going
to
get
you. I just don't go to the doctor.
Red meat must be eaten in moderation, fellas. Moderation.
You ready for the next one?
Yes, sir.
Do you prefer to give massages or receive them?
Great question.
Yeah, you'd like that.
I don't. This is all CMR, so.
It depends on what. Part maybe of the.
I think you can pick a specific part. If there's a part that you like to massage more than giving,
obviously with my fondness for feet, I do not mind giving foot massages.
I think we've all seen that.
I would much rather get like if it's a back massage, I would much rather give the massage than get the massage.
I'm with Jay. I'm a pleasure giver, and I like to see the reaction as you're doing a nice back rub. And you kind of have a good angle of the TV at the time, and it's kind of, it's very pain-free, and the gal likes it. So I would say giving the back
massage. Exactly like me. We'd be watching the show, and I just know she's itching for the back rub, and then I do it.
It saves an argument, though.
Yeah, I would agree
with that. It does save an argument.
I feel bad if someone's working to rub my shoulder. So, I don't want you to go out of your way.
But it feels good.
Cramp up your fingers. It does feel good.
I think it's best to toe the line. I think it's best to give and receive. You have the best of both worlds. And I know that might be a weak take.
Yeah, but that's.
But I think you got to play it both ways, because if you give them and get them, then you both know how good it feels. And you know that you give that good feeling to someone else. You can't really appreciate a massage unless you give them.
I don't like
you can't really
massage.
Give a good massage unless you get them.
I don't. It doesn't necessarily feel that good to me.
See, I disagree with that.
There are some massages like I've had on like a cruise ship or at a resort.
I've never done that.
Where they work you over really well and get you in tune and in line and all that stuff.
That's a chiropractor.
But just a regular. I just don't. I don't need it. I don't, you know.
Well, you feel so much better after a good massage. There was a lady I went to in Springfield once a week. And I mean, you
what
feel
was
like,
her name?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But
how'd she look?
You Swedish feel she was attractive, yeah.
Leggy?
No, I think she's like 5'9".
Okay.
But she did like the, at the end.
Oh, the happy ending.
No, it wasn't a happy ending. It was a professional massage.
Sure. Where's this at, Iggy?
You feel like Gumby when you're done. You're so loose.
Yeah,
you
remember.
Kramer said you feel like cream corn when you're done.
Great line.
But she would start with the front and the legs and the chest and the shoulder and then go to the back.
Sure,
but at the end, when your hour is almost up, she'd take the fingernails and just rub them down your back right over your butt.
Hey now.
And it just, the ending. And it wasn't a happy ending, but it was just like a...
Don't do that what you're doing with your fingers right now.
The end
now.
The massage do right down the back over the butt.
Here's the problem.
Down
when
the legs.
I've never had one. When the massage is done, do you like say thanks? Isn't there like a handshake involved, or they just leave without saying anything? I feel like that's an awkward moment.
I think you're supposed
when
to
that
say,
hour
that
is
felt
done.
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Oh, I feel much better now. Thank you. Oh boy,
some
you hit all the right spots.
Some stand back from the table and
admire their work.
Now let me go one step further with this question because it was a great question. Now massages, a regular massage is not a sexual massage. It's doing to relieve tension. It makes your body feel better. Even though it's not sexual, I can't let a dude massage me.
Oh, God, no.
Could you let a dude massage you? Even if it's a professional, hey, I got my back is so tight, I need a good massage to get the kinks out, get the knots out. Would you let a dude massage
no.
you?
No. If I was doing it strictly for therapeutic reasons, maybe. But more than likely, no, I'd much rather.
It's a great Seinfeld episode when Elaine gets the gorgeous gal and George gets the huge bodybuilder.
I think it moved.
It's a great episode. Yeah,
I'd probably decline that if I had the opportunity.
Yeah, and if you're looking for just a really good massage, which I was, and it was right when I moved back from Springfield, I wanted to find a good masseuse.
Sure, you did.
And don't use the Riverfront Times for your massages, because did that. And
get something
a little extra.
Really nice Asians, and right. It was great massage until the end. And I said, what are you doing?
It's on the east side somewhere.
We end now? No, not that. I thought it was a regular massage.
Well, you should have gone to Washington Park for that.
I had a guy that I worked with that had his heart broken when he was about 26 or 27. And this is back when I was doing some national stuff. And we'd go to different towns, and I mean to tell you, the first thing he'd do is look for one of the Asian parlors.
Pacific Rim.
And that's he'd gotten so frustrated with gals that's what he did. He had a gal broke his heart, and he swore off women, but we'd go to a different town, and I'd say, what are you doing? Well, I'm looking for the massage places.
For heaven's sakes.
I mean,
was this a big name golf guy that we would know?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, come on. Go ahead and throw his name out there.
No, I'm not throwing a name out.
How about initials?
I've heard the stories. And if you follow golf, you know who he is.
He just loved it. I mean, that was his.
Nothing wrong with that.
You give his world
unless
ranking.
It's illegal. It's illegal, isn't it?
I don't know.
I
Penwood
I'm
City.
Sure
right?
It is. I'm sure it's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon? Yes.
It's illegal. They bust these places.
They do bust some of them, yes.
Now, I figured out with this Riverfront Times that even though it said professional massage, we were licensed, I figured it was a regular masseuse, but no, it's not.
Yeah.
It was a good massage up until the end, and I didn't want that. I wanted a regular massage.
Love you.
Licensed by who?
I don't know. Couldn't you think I'm going to go in there? I see a good-looking Asian girl? Can I see your credentials, please? Well, no. Get at it.
You said you were surprised by the wrap-up of it all.
Because most licensed masseuse don't end like that.
That's because they're not licensed, these folks.
They don't have the finishing move that some of these gals have.
Okay, next question,
Ponzi. I guess the next one, Doug and Benfred can probably sit out of this one.
All right. I'll take that.
Oh, that's just scary now.
How soon after coitus do you light up a ciggy?
As you smoke during.
Who does that?
That's the ashtray on her back.
Yeah. Oh, the ashtray God. On her back.
No,
like
that's
I said,
wrong.
Ben, Fred, and Doug can bow out of this one. I don't mind.
I've never had a cigarette in my life.
Well, I know. That's why I said.
You know what? I think when I was younger, it was more of a pretty much immediacy type of thing. I think it was pretty much, okay, well, that's over. Now I'm going to go have a smoke. I'd say probably now, though, within 5 minutes.
It's later now than it used to be.
Much earlier. Than
and now it's
It's different. It's different.
I was going to say an hour, an hour or two.
You got to get hooked up to the iron lung, and 5 minutes later, you're ready to go.
Well, back in my youth, I did it immediately. I wait 5 minutes.
it was more. What I meant to say was it was probably more of a thought in my mind to have a smoke back in the day. Now it just is natural. Okay, I'll be back.
Yeah, usually the time frame for me is how long it takes me to find my underoos to go outside. So about 30 seconds there to a go. Minute.
Well, yeah, it depends on where you're at. If it's my house or somebody else's house, if they allow smoking in their house, it's 30 seconds. I mean, I just roll over and light one.
Sure.
But if it's my house, I have to get dressed first and go outside.
That's kind of why I'm glad my balcony is covered with trees, because sometimes I walk out of there and
do you think
not a pleasant sight sometimes.
Now, he's not here today, so it may not be fair. But just in theory, Jimmy the Cat Hayes once in a while will have a little dip. Do you think that Cat goes to the dip right after?
Oh, geez. I don't want to think about that.
After he's dipped, do you think Cat dips?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about cats.
I think it's a fair question. I'd ask him if he was here.
Yeah, a spittoon right by the bed. That's a little different than smoking. You just like right out the side.
Don't make that sound.
What?
Don't.
Ding. That's what it sounds when it hits it.
Yeah. That is like the old.
Go ahead, do it again, Iggy.
Stop with that sound.
Old Western.
In the old Westerns.
Yeah, it
was spit and you would hear that noise.
Why would it make a noise?
Because it's going into the bucket.
Right into the spittoon.
But it still doesn't
usually,
make a noise.
It's usually a brass bucket in the old days.
It
still doesn't make a noise.
How
many times have you spit in your life?
It does in the movies, buddy.
Ringing sound when the saliva hits.
Here, it sounded like this.
That's
stop making that sound.
What if you spit from far away? Try it again.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough.
Yep.
Ooh, made it.
Rim shot.
Never makes a sound.
Well, the cat is not here, so he can't comment, but he is on the road, and that has a sponsor. He is sponsored when he's on the road, thanks to Four Seasons.
Penske.
Penske Truck. Very he has nice. A miles and miles of pant that he takes with him on the road.
Plowsy, remind me to ask Kat that question when he gets back.
Oh, I'll make sure to shoot him a text after the show there, Jay.
It's information we need. Toot sweet.
So, we'll have Ben Fred write a column.
So the answer to that question between me, Jay, and Plowsy is pretty much right away.
No, I got a question about that. Can I ask a question about the question?
Well, of course, Ben Fred.
Because... is it because you haven't smoked in a while?
No.
Is it because it's better? It's a better sensation. Like, I mean, I know that like when you smoke, it's not like you get high when you smoke a cigarette. You guys, you know, that sensation goes away after a while. What makes it so good right in that moment?
I'll compare it to, you ever been on a long run or been really dehydrated and got that first drink of water and that first big gulp and it feels amazing?
Sure.
That's what every cigarette post-coitus feels like.
Oh.
And that's a good analogy. Just, you're thirsty and then, ooh, I'm quenched, baby. Now I'm ready to go.
It's like after
similar
a meal.
Similar to that.
It's like after a meal. A cigarette always tastes better after a good meal. A cigarette always tastes better after sex.
Very good.
You think maybe you're justifying your smoking by saying, it'll be better now.
No.
If I could just give myself some lung cancer,
there's no way to
I would
justify.
Feel much better.
You cannot justify smoking.
No.
You just either do it or you're smart enough not to.
Here's the Crystal City Clam Hammer says, I take a dip during, and I don't know if I should read that.
I would go ahead and read it.
He takes a dip during.
Do you ever light one for the chick if she smokes too? You like put two in your mouth and light one and then give one to her while you lay in bed? I think that's
like, seems like something Dean Martin would have
that's
done.
That's romantic, I think, lighting the cigarette for her.
Oh, yeah.
So you put it both in your mouth.
Light them both and then hand one to her.
Oh, you hand one to her.
There you go, honey. Take a smoke.
Put the ashtray in the middle.
What a gentleman.
Do you ever worry about falling asleep while you're in bed smoking and burning down the whole place? You don't smoke in bed, do you?
No. I don't smoke in my house.
Me either.
So, no, I don't have that problem. And if it's in her house and it burns down, who cares?
Oh, boy.
Well, it wouldn't be good for both of them.
Thoughtful.
He'd get out.
Yeah, that's when you go get breakfast. Go back to your place. Well, honey, if been real, Tell the fire guys to say hi. I'm out.
Do we have any more questions?
Yeah, I got one more.
All right.
Oh, no.
No, this is since the one was so vile, I'll make this one not as vile.
Okay.
And they're a mediocre athlete you loved as a kid. Like somebody that didn't get a lot of pub, maybe a college athlete, maybe a professional baseball player, similar to a Bo Hart, guys like that.
Yeah, every player who played for the Kansas City Royals when I was growing up. He fell in love with one guy, they'd trade him to somewhere. Johnny Damon, he's going to be great. They'd get rid of him.
Freddie Patek.
Beltran, he's the man. Yeah, nope, gone. Greinke sucks. Oh, no, he's actually pretty good.
This guy was an NBA All-Star, but he would get dogged quite a bit because he didn't play defense, and I became a fan of his when he was at Notre Dame because I got to meet him in 1978 when they played in the Final Four here at the arena, Kelly Trepuka. That's mine.
Huh.
It's a deep cut.
Mine was, and I mean, I was a big Bjorn Borg fan.
Well, he was pretty damn good.
But there was a tennis player that I always loved watching.
Roscoe. No.
Aaron Krikstein.
Oh, Krikstein.
I always just like he had kind of longish hair and was seemed like a nice guy. Yep. Wasn't temperamental, would just go through the motions. I remember that might have been quarterfinals that he played against Jimmy Connors, and Connors came back in the fifth set. Yep. Yeah. And the crowd was so, and that's the one where Connors, I gave them what they wanted. You want more, you got it. And Krikstein had to sit through that whole thing for the delays, the crowd. And you know who his niece is?
No.
Morgan Pressel.
Really?
Yeah.
Aaron Krikstein.
Yeah.
It just sucks that tennis isn't what it was. It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. Federer I'll watch. Other than that, I just can't watch. I can't name three players on the men's side.
Isn't the U.S. Open going on now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah.
You barely know it.
It's crazy. I mean, it used to be...
big stuff.
Yeah, big stuff.
Yeah.
Well, just name the players back in that day. You know, you had Borg, Nastasi, Gerolaitis, Connors, McEnroe. I mean, there were so many good players. Now I can name Federer and the English guy.
Who's he?
Murray, is it?
Yeah. Andy Murray.
Andy Murray.
The players are just as good. It's just that sport doesn't have the personality.
No, they're not. The personality.
It's all serve. Back then, you used wooden rackets. There were volleys. Now it's 130-mile-an-hour serve, and the point's over.
So the players are better. They're serving harder.
No,
the players are
better,
bigger.
Better equipment, and you can.
It's kind of like golf. They're driving it longer, but their short game might not be as good.
Correct.
Yeah, but I think today's athletes are better than yesterday's athletes in almost every sport.
So that doesn't mean that's best for the quality of the game.
No, it doesn't necessarily help the sport.
Right.
But I'm sure that the top players today would probably have beaten the top players back then in the 70s.
We're going to shift gears here now and head out to the appliance discounter phone lines because we got Tony Messenger online. He's the Metro columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a colleague of mine. He's been all over an issue we were talking about yesterday, which was the St. Louis County Council voting to postpone the development of the ice rink in Creve-Coeur Park. The Blues were going to be using as a practice facility. So on Tuesday, the St. Louis County Council voted to approve a resolution to delay the construction of this 40-acre, four-rink recreational ice complex. Tony has been covering this throughout the process, and he has his latest column, looks into some of the things that were not accomplished on the way to getting this done. He's talked with the National Resources Department in Missouri and kind of came across this rule, this federal law that could cause a lot of problems for this project. So we're going to catch up with him now. Tony, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Ben, I'm doing great. Doug, Jay, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're fine.
Doing good, Tony. I want to ask you off the bat before we get into some of the specifics. Am I right?
Roscoe Tanner.
I love him.
I like that.
In the 1970s, I loved Roscoe. Okay, go ahead.
Roscoe was a power player, no doubt about it. So they had started work, Tony, on this project, and now they have been told to stop. Is that right?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
Everything is in dispute. What the county claims, and they do so without any documentation, and they do so even though the paper record says the opposite. What the county claims is that the work that is going on in Creve-Coeur Lake Memorial Park right now is actually an unrelated stormwater project, which, if it's completed, would also happen to help the arena. What they did is they split the land on the exact plan for the ice. they're saying that it's a stormwater project, even though the construction company that filed the permit in the city of Maryland Heights says accurately, I believe, what they're doing in that site operation for the St. Louis Ice Center. And the reason that that's so important, if they've started work on the ice center before they received federal approval, they have basically federal approval in serious jeopardy.
Hey, Tony, you're breaking up on us a little bit there. We heard you say that if they started the project before they received the federal approval, that would mean something. And then we lost you a little bit. Can you repeat
right,
that part?
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, if they have started the work on the ICE Center before they've received federal approval, that will jeopardize the federal approval. And that's what my column in today's Post-Dispatch talks about, that federal officials from the National Park Service have basically already informed the state that this thing is in jeopardy. This thing is very unlikely to meet the federal standard required under the law. And the reason that they have to get federal approval is almost the entire Creve Coeur Lake Memorial Park was paid for by federal funds. So there are three different federal laws that cause for preservation and require various federal approvals in order for them to do the project there.
And what about an ice rink? A lot of the argument has been, look, you know, parks should include ice rinks. A lot of people grew up skating in public parks. What about an ice rink would not match up with what the parks wanted, that the people who run this kind of, obviously starting before you get the approval, I think most people would say that's probably not the best way to do it. But why wouldn't this pass? Why couldn't this be assumed that this would pass?
Well, there is a specific provision in the federal law that says that professional sporting facilities would not be approved. Clearly, at least to some degree, national sports facility. It's going to be the administrative home of the Blues. It's going to be the Blues practice arena. It's also going to be ice time, hockey teams, other youth sports and that sort of thing. The comparison I would make from my standpoint is, and it's the comparison that the folks from the Legacy Ice Foundation have encouraged. Look at I think in Forest Park. That's a wonderful outdoor experience. My family and I like to go ice skating, even though we all suck, over Christmas holiday at Forest Park, and it's a beautiful outdoor experience. That's what's being built here. It's a 1,000-car parking lot. It is a massive structure, 250,000 square feet, over 40 acres, with three inside ice rinks and, stands for people to watch hockey and that. A pro shop, a hockey hall of fame, all wonderful things. I love the project. They're putting the project in completely the wrong place for a variety of reasons.
And now I'm interested in the timing of this a little bit too, because there was a meeting. Obviously, they got a lot of attention. There were a lot of families there, kids in their sweaters, and they're representing the love of hockey here in St. Louis. And no one is obviously diminishing or saying that hockey St. Louis isn't loved and St. Louis doesn't love its hockey. But based on your reporting, the information you found says that they've heard from the departments in charge of this thing before that meeting even happened.
Yeah, if I were a hockey parent that was asked to bring my kids to that county council meeting, I would be upset, and this is why. And I didn't know this while the meeting was taking place. I didn't know this till the next day when I got some documents from the Department of Natural Resources. But the very day of that county council meeting, Sheila Sweeney, who's the CEO of St. Louis Economic Partnership, and Gary Hess, who's the director of county, they're two driving project on behalf of Steve, your county executive, in Jeff City to the Department of Natural Resources, because the Department of Natural Resources got this letter from National Service, this letter they've received in 2 months, asking all sorts of questions about the project and raising sorts of questions and concerns about whether or not it will qualify for federal approval. State of called Jeff Sweeney and Terry Best down to Jeff City several hours before the meeting and give them letters from the federal government and from the state that said, look, this thing to be in jeopardy. You have to provide us documentation that this is actually a stormwater project. And they were not able to do that at that meeting. They gave them verbal okay, saying, oh, yeah, that's what it is. It's stormwater. But the state said, you need to get documentation. I don't believe that happens yet. I've been asking for such documentation, and they haven't given it to me either. I don't believe it's this. But on the day of that meeting, on the day of the county council meeting, where they had all these Pocky parents and their kids show up to basically have a campaign rally for Steve Stinger, most of the county officials already knew this thing might be in jeopardy, and they didn't tell all those parents there that night.
So what is, if this thing gets backlogged, and it seems like the pause might be lengthy here as they try to sort this out, do you have a guess on what the end game is? Do they have to find another place? Do they have to find another location? How do you see this playing out?
Well, there's three sort of possibilities the way I see it. First of all, as Greg Smith, who's an attorney at Hush, I forget the last name, but the law firm in town, who is the head of the Legacy Ice Foundation, he and I had a conversation yesterday, and one of the things that bothered him about the column is that I didn't point out, and this is true, that officially the state hasn't even applied to the federal government yet. They're still waiting on documents from St. Louis County. So there is still a chance that the Department of Natural Resources will gather all the stuff they want from the county, will decide that it's okay, will send the proposal to the National Park Service, and the National Park Service at some point, probably not until next year, will either approve or deny. And that land will probably sit vacant until then, just, you know, scraped to earth as it is right now. That's one possibility. The other possibility is what they call a conversion. It's possible that the National Park Service will say, you can build your hockey practice arena, but under the law, you have to give us 40 more acres of similar environmental quality to what you destroyed in the park and add it to the park. So that would mean the project gets much more expensive, 40 other acres somewhere to some landowner has to get bought and added to the park. That's a possibility, but that would also have to take place before any construction, and that would push things back. The other possibility, frankly, that to me makes most sense, especially because we're talking about building in a floodplain, and you think about what's been going on in Houston and in Texas and in Louisiana this week, and the constant issue we've had in St. Louis in terms of building in floodplains, whether it's Maryland Heights or Chesterfield or St. Louis, and what that does to people and flooding and everything else. The other possibility is the Blues just say, you know what, we got a great facility here, we don't need all these delays, let's go find another piece of property. Maybe they actually have to spend a little bit more money to get it done, but there's so many potential places for that thing in St. Louis County that it doesn't have to be in a public park. The reason to put it in a public park is so that they don't have to pay property tax. Well, maybe one of these dead malls, maybe one of these areas that is suffering commercially that has some land that can get blighted and they can get some county assistance, maybe that's ultimately what the better option becomes for building this new practice arena.
Well, and that's kind of my question, Tony. I'm looking at the Legacy Foundation Executive Committee, and I know a couple people on there. And the Blues obviously have the wherewithal. I'm kind of wondering why this needs to be on parkland, if you will. I mean, what would be wrong with building a rink and trying to make a profit on the rink? I just don't know. It seems like it's an interesting situation where something must be going on for them to want to try and do it under the auspices of a publicly funded type thing.
That to me is the question. If you look at why set it up as a nonprofit, why does it have to go in the park? Why does it need so much public aid? Those are all, I think, important questions, and they get magnified when you now look at the fact that the process has been messed up by the county. The documents make that pretty clear. There's been some deception. There's a clear question as to whether or not the federal government's going to approve it. I think if they continue going forward, it's quite likely that they're going to get sued. They're already dealing with multiple lawsuits related to the Scott Trade Arena. Again, whether or not those are, you know, you think the Blues are right or somebody else is right, they've got to deal with that litigation. I'm not sure why you would continue down this road when there are so many other options.
Hear, hear.
Tony, do you think one of the other options would be to join with that Chesterfield Ice project? They're trying to get a new rink built in Chesterfield. Couldn't they get together and make everybody happy with one big complex?
Well, theoretically, although that one's got issues too, in part because they're also trying to build in the floodplain. You know, when you look at all these projects trying to build in the floodplain, you got to ask yourself, why are they building in the floodplain? It's because the land is cheap. It's bad public policy to be building big structures in a floodplain.
But that whole Chesterfield Valley is a floodplain, isn't it? And they built that up completely.
It absolutely is. The entire Chesterfield Valley is a floodplain. It was all underwater in 1993. And frankly, I think it will be again someday. But that's the question to me is, when you look at these public projects and they're talking about putting them in floodplains, why? Why does it have to be in a floodplain? Why is it not possible to go somewhere else when there's so much potential commercial property available in all sorts of places all over the county and all over the city? And it's cost. It's because they can get the land cheaper. It's because they can get some public subsidy. And I think that people are right to question that. People, a lot of your listeners I know, questioned when Stan Kroenke wanted to put potentially a big development in Maryland Heights behind the floodplain, or behind the Howard Spence levee, very close to where they're talking about building this ice arena. Those are good questions. And every time we see another massive flood in this country, we ought to be asking ourselves, why are we building in the floodplain? Because you and I end up paying for that someday.
Sure.
And when we build in the floodplain, and when the Legacy Ice Foundation folks say, oh, no, it's not going to be in the floodplain because we're going to build it up. We're going to build it up 5 feet and take it out of the 100-year flood. Well, if you do that, you're affecting somebody else's floodplain. You're affecting somebody else's situation the next time the water gets high. Because if you move your land up 5 feet, that water has to go somewhere. And this constant argument from developers that, oh, no, it's going to be okay. Oh, no, we're going to have retention ponds. Oh, no, we're going to build it up. History says time and time again, it's a mistake.
Well, out in Chesterfield, they built that berm along the Missouri River, didn't they? And
they
put in pump stations. There's an awful lot of very intelligent, very wealthy people who are gambling that place is not going to go underwater again. I don't know if they have that same kind of setup in Maryland Heights. I doubt it. But I think
it's very similar. In Chesterfield, it's called the Monarch Levee. In Maryland Heights, it's called the Howard Spend Levee. They're both allegedly 500-year flood levees. But as we're seeing, again, in Houston, to bring that up again, 500-year flood doesn't really mean anything anymore. They've had three of them in the last 12 years in Houston right now. I think you're close. When you said the developers, these very wealthy people, are betting that it won't flood, I don't think that's the case. I think they're betting that they can make their money in 20 years and that eventually it'll flood, but they will have already made their money. They'll have their flood insurance. They'll get bailed out by the federal government. That's what they're betting on.
I think Blues fans, if you're a diehard fan of the team, you're looking at this going, man, the Blues are trying to get renovations to Scott Trade Center. They thought they had them, and now that's tied up. The Blues thought they're going to get those practice facility. It seemed like it was good to go, and now that's tied up.
There's nothing wrong, Ben, Fred, with somebody with money, or a company, or the Blues building their own place.
I agree with you. I'm just saying. I think this. I think the Blues are. They're not promoting this fear, but it is real that these fans are fearing, man, if the Blues keep getting blocked at every turn, they try to do something, it makes you wonder. We've lost a team, the NFL left, and I'm not comparing the Blues to Stan Kroenke at all. They're completely different franchises, and I think there's a lot of goodwill the Blues have built up in the community. And what I think a lot of people are wrestling with, okay, well, at what point does that do they expect that goodwill in the community to come across as the Scott Trade renovations going through or this project going through? Do you think we've seen the end of that, Tony? Because it seems like the Cardinals, if they want to do something with public money, it's rubber stamped and it's good to go. The Blues have not found that ability. They just haven't had those things go through as easily. How do you think the Blues feel about this whole thing?
I think part of it's bad timing on the Blues. You know, there was some talk last year and a half ago, between the Blues, between the Cardinals, and between the folks who wanted the MLS to come. And there was some talk about all of them sort of coordinating their plans because they're all seeking some form of public subsidy. And ultimately, I don't know exactly what happened, but they didn't do it together. And the Cardinals went first, and the Cardinals got theirs. And keep in mind, the Cardinals project is completely different. It does involve a lot of commercial development downtown. But the Cardinals got their seconds now subsidy for Ballpark Village. And then MLS went, and it didn't go well. And then around the same time, the Blues were going with some of the same ownership group as some of the folks pushing MLS, which I found interesting at the time, and they got some pushback. And then you have them doing the county project out in the county, the city project in the city, and reinforcing this constant problem we have in St. Louis where our lack of regional unity creates the problem. Wouldn't it be great, and wouldn't it be a better situation if their request for public subsidy was one request to one government body? Here's what we're going to do for our new arena/practice facility. Let's do a deal. Let's figure this thing out. But instead, they're dealing with two different public bodies, completely separate from each other, and they each have completely different issues. The Scott Trade issue is completely different than the St. Louis Ice Center issue. One of them has to do with a floodplain. One of them has to do with federal approval. The other one has to do with how much public subsidy is coming out of the general fund in the city. I mean, they're completely different issues. But I think your point is that at some point, I think the Blues ownership has to say, you know what? We do have a certain amount of goodwill in this city and in this region. How much of it are we damaging by trying to push forward this thing in the county in which county politicians have messed it up for us? And, you know, I mean, they're partners in it. The Blues have to be blamed for this as well. I think at some point it behooves them to say, let's clean this thing up. Let's take this beautiful facility and put it somewhere else, maybe still in Maryland Heights, I don't know, but let's put it somewhere where it's contributing to the economy, we're getting it done, and we get this controversy passed.
Yeah, it's certainly not going away anytime soon, and I'm sure you will continue to cover it, as will the paper. Your latest column is on stltoday.com, as well as in today's paper headline online, Fed seek halt to work in Creve Coeur Park, putting new Blues practice home on thin ice. Tony, thanks so much for making the time. We appreciate it. And just a note from the text line here, which I know that you have fond memories of. Mm-hmm. Timmy Tom Tom said to give you a Go Broncos.
Beautiful. Go Broncos. Hey, 4-0 in the
preseason,
baby.
Yeah, preseason. Really, that's
Rams
really a good
determination.
It's really a good determination for how it's all going to pan out. They say that's what they say. The experts. We don't cover football anymore on this show, but I do remember NFL people saying if you win in the preseason, it really helps your chances of winning when the wins count.
Especially when you win your last preseason game with a street free agent from the University of Northern Colorado who goes the distance. I mean that is really much. I mean I might as well do the Super Bowl to the Broncos right now.
Place your bets, Tony. Thanks so much, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
Good to talk to you guys.
All right, thank you, Tony.
That is Tony Messenger, Metro columnist for the St. Louis Post.
Tim's gonna join us after the break. I'm in a conversation with my man, Old Dirty Strick. Mm-hmm. Who's very passionate about this situation. He might even be on with Frank today since it's a Friday. My only dilemma here is, you know, why are we even dealing with floodplains or public funding, or is it a park or not a park? what prevents the St. Louis Blues or a group of local business people from just building a rink somewhere? Is it not profitable enough? And again, Strick texted me that the Blues would basically be only using the facility about 3% of the time. So obviously 97% of the other time, you're going to have youth, you're going to have the garage leagues and all that. You
a
know,
whole
the guys,
lot of taxpayers there well, spending money and helping the economy.
I agree.
Allowing kids to play and come in from out of town for tournaments and everything else.
I understand, but if the venture would be profitable, why wouldn't individuals with the wherewithal or the Blues build it? I mean, I
don't know that the venture itself is that profitable. I imagine that hockey rinks are extremely expensive
gotta
to
be.
Keep up.
Gotta be.
And it might not be that venture that's profitable, but it might be some hotels and restaurants and
now, those, Strick does
those
say,
things that benefit from it, nearby businesses.
Yep. No, I mean, he says they will pay off bonds from revenue from the rink, not asking for taxpayer money. Blues aren't in the rink building business, and he's right, and no, rinks don't make a lot of money. So, you know, I mean, I guess I'm coming at it from an approach where we got infrastructure issues in our town. We got a lot of dilemmas that we've got to figure out. It just sometimes makes me wonder, why are we building facilities for teams? I don't know. I understand why you're building an arena to play, but why do you? And I guess if it's not taxpayer money, then I'm wrong.
Well,
so,
if you're only using it for 3% of the time, then you're not really building the facility.
We can
for the
debate.
Team.
No,
building
you're right.
It, you're
right.
Building it for the community.
You're building it for the community.
And that there's arguments to be had on both sides of that debate. What makes no sense to me is the idea that they started working on this thing under the guise of some other project,
right.
And then there are documents that can be accessed by the public that say, oh, it's for the ice rink. That's a bad look. You don't do that. With as much distrust as there is of this kind of stuff right now, you got to be on the up and up when you do this.
There's got to be more to it than that, right?
What
that,
do you mean?
That's not how the Blues do business, is it? Let's
no.
try to sneak a building past
no.
people?
I don't think that can be
I
the
think
case.
There was some...
I don't know that it's the Blues, but it's the county, and it's obviously they thought no one's going to look into this, or no, this isn't going to come out, or there's been no explanation as to why there are documents on file that says this is construction started for the ice rink when it wasn't. That
the
makes no sense to me.
The legalities of it become...
It's all
very
a little
difficult.
There's got to be a missing piece of information there somewhere. I just can't believe that these people would risk a multi-million dollar project thinking they can sneak it by people.
Right.
If we just say that we're fixing the sewer system, we can build this whole thing and no one will notice. There has to be a missing piece of information there.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to talk with Tim here next. He's coming up, and then we have Dash My Hook. He's the actor playing Bunchy on Showtime's Ray Donovan coming up as well. Iggy's Drops of the Week, Burrelli Cuts of the Week, Email of the Day. It's all coming up here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.